You know, it's amazing how God kind of puts stuff together, you know? If you were here at the beginning, you know that Kirk was talking about keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord. One of my verses today is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. But we've been preaching for 3 or 4 weeks. Last week we really went into end time stuff. And today I'm going to continue just for a little while on how to respond to the end times. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. You know, a lot of people don't even know about end times. They're just believing the world's falling apart without any purpose. A lot of people don't know about the end times, but they just feel a feeling of despair and hopelessness. Emptiness. I like to look into people's eyes, and you know sometimes you don't see anything. They're empty. They're going from breath to breath. But let me ask you a question. Has something happened in your life that's taken the life out of you? Are we living today, or are we just existing? Do you have a purpose while you're breathing? You know, your purpose in life has to be a lot deeper than just making money. I mean, people are working 2 or 3 or 4 different jobs trying to make more money. Why? Well, we want. Isn't it kind of amazing? A lot of people never think about their eternal life because they're too involved in the temporary life. They're putting this aside. They're putting aside retirement. They're putting stuff away for a rainy day. How many people are going to be disappointed if they don't have a bad day? They got all that money put away. What are you going to spend it? Well, that's for a rainy day. When's it coming? I know it's coming. I got more faith in a rainy day than I do in God. And so Jesus is talking. And whether or not what is going on now is because of end times, and some people are living with the end times, do you realize that the end times began on the day of Pentecost? How many years ago was that? Well, it's more than yesterday. Peter stands up and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. Where'd that come from? The book of Joel. Or Joel. Whichever one you want. I don't care. But we kind of think that the end times began when a certain guy was elected president. He had nothing to do with it. I mean, things were messed up before he took office and he just helped them. Love the way you're shouting. And so right now, people are absolutely, massively confused. Our children no longer get to hear about God in schools. And then, you know, people say, well, that's okay. Satanists can't promote. Didn't you read Facebook and see where Satan's going to be allowed in schools this year? And so we took prayer out of schools, we took Christ out of lives, we no longer are a Christian nation according to some. Everything is falling apart, there's no hope, might as well just eat some worms and die. Big, fat, chunky ones, little skinny ones, night crawlers, doesn't matter what kind of worm. You cannot lose hope. Here's a statement for you. You cannot lose hope when you're focused on Jesus. You are not looking for hope, you're walking in hope. God is hope. If He's in you, you've got it. And you only lose hope when you quit focusing on Jesus Christ. Kirk mentioned something else. I wish he was preaching. He did pretty good this morning. Do you notice there's a little fire there? That was good. Little fire. You know that little fire can catch the flame? Well, you know what people say. If you want a new pastor, just say a few amens and he'll preach himself to death. But there are things going on that we can't comprehend. And so we look like nobody's in control. God has not lost control. God still holds up all things together by the word of His power. God is still working out His plan. And whether this is the end times, of course it is. It's been since the day of Pentecost, so we've been in the end times for over 2,000 years. The question is, if we're going to be honest, has it ever been this bad? And the answer is yes. Frieda went through the dirty 30s. Some of you went through World War II. What about the days of the Civil War when we were killing each other? How about the Korean War? What about Vietnam? We still have people that are crippled from the things happening in Vietnam. And what has changed is that the American people have finally woken up to the fact that there might be a problem in our country. And so if there's a problem, you got to blame it on somebody. And so you got to find, you can't take blame. We can't take, can we? How many of you are responsible for your own mistakes? Oh, well, I'm not. If it wasn't this one or that one or someone else, you know, I wouldn't have any mistakes. Well, okay. Have I meddled enough? Are you mad at me yet? Can I leave now? Okay. I'll keep working. Luke 21. Verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It's not over yet. Follow me? The time of the Gentiles is not yet fulfilled. Okay? And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in stars, on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear. Men's hearts failing them from fear. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when you see these things happening, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth near. It doesn't say when you see these things happening, panic. Does it? It doesn't say when you see these things happening, hibernate, don't go out of your houses. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say when you see these things happening, lose hope. It says something we should always be doing, and that's focusing on Jesus Christ. When we see these things happening, focus. Fix your minds. Fix your eyes. Look to Jesus. Because what we're doing is we're looking at the circumstances. I want to tell you something. No matter how the circumstances look, they're always distorted. Because some people think, well, that's not too bad, and some people panic. Whenever we just look at what's happening without realizing what's behind it, things get distorted. And we make up our own minds, and it's fine to make up your own minds. And everybody's opinion is good, maybe, but everybody's opinion's not right. You have a right to your own opinion, but is your opinion right? Or are you judging everything by past history? So I started thinking, and that gets dangerous. What do we do when we see things happening? What do we do? How do we look at them? How do we relate to them? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I was working on this, and I was thinking a week or so ago, 10 days ago, and all of a sudden the phrase came to my mind, gird up the loins of your mind. I thought, what? How many have ever heard that before? Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, it's not going to be in the NIV, because they distort that verse. No, they don't. It's not going to be there. I think the NIV says fix your mind. But here's what it says. I finally found it. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your minds, focus your minds, because there's another outpouring of grace coming as God reveals himself. And there's hope. There's hope. Rest your hope fully in the grace of God that's coming. So when you start thinking things are falling apart and God has lost control, we need to fix our hope on the grace of God. How many of you are believers today? How many of you have been born again today? How many of you know that you're not born again without grace? How many of you know that your grace, the grace of God, is deeper than just for salvation? We walk and we live in that grace because that grace is the demonstration of the love of God. And so rest your hope in the grace of God. The grace of God never fails. The grace of God never fails. Okay, let's look at chapter 5 in 1 Peter. How do I deal with end times? Chapter 5. Verse number 11. 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting, and that word, I believe the NIV uses, encouraging, and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So hope and grace connect. God's empowering presence that enables you to be what he's called you to be and do what he's called you to do is full of hope. So how do I stand? Okay, how many of you feel like being honest? Wave at me if you love me. Okay. But it's very interesting here to see the fact that the true grace in which we stand. How do I handle things? How many of you have ever had what you considered a major problem? How many of you are a major problem? Anybody have a major problem 10 years ago? 5 years ago? And you're still breathing? How'd you get through? God? Were you Christians? God got you through? How many are living in a major problem right now? Physical, emotional? You're not going to admit it, are you? I'm not going to pick on you. I'm just going to say, the same that God that got you through 10 years ago will get you through today. Okay? The same God that worked in your life 25 or 30 or 65 years ago for me, even though I'm 84, is going to work you through. It's going to bring you through it. How many of you ever heard, I can do some things through God who strengthens me? Is that the right verse? What does it say? Can't hear you. What does it say? How many believe that? Okay. What about, my God shall supply some of your needs according to my riches and glory? Does that fit? Does that fit into your theology? Some days? How many needs? Can't hear you. So why are we worried about tomorrow? Why do we allow the things coming to ruin them and worry about them? Because we're fearful today and there's no problems. Because you just told me you didn't have any major problems. Right? Okay, I'm going to ask a question again. How many have major problems today? Therefore, we got today under control through God, don't we? So don't you think we're going to lose tomorrow? Or the next day? Or the next day? You know something? Because things are right today, you should have more hope for tomorrow. But we don't live that way. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm doing good under the circumstance. I said, what are you under them for? How'd you get under them? Did you fit? I want to leave you with one verse and just absolutely open it up to you. Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11. How many of you, if you're going to be honest with me, wave at me. I didn't think so. How many of you have ever, ever in your life been a little negative? Man, I got a bunch of Christians here. How many have ever said negative things? How many have ever got beaten up with a negative mind? 12:11. Please remember this verse. Please. It says this. Satan was coming down, was cast out of heaven. And the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they didn't shrink away from dying. How many of you in your mind, the most scariest thing is not living very long? Really? I'm 72. I want to live longer. How many of you have had fear of dying? That's a lie from the devil that we don't believe. I've had him tell me that back in my 60s. You're not going to live long. I'm still here. But Satan will push a button until we'll take hold of it and we believe it. You heard the saying, you tell somebody something long enough, even though it's a lie, they'll believe. We find that true in America. And so when Satan attacks, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, you ready for a little history? How many remember the Passover? If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's in the book of Exodus when God told Moses to take the blood and put on the doorpost and over the top. And when the death angel saw it, he would pass over. Or in one place it says they would not allow the death angel to come in. The death angel's name was Abaddon. Means destroyer. Came to destroy. In the book of Revelation, there's Abaddon and Apollyon, talking about demonic forces. Abaddon means destroyer. Apollyon means destruction. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. There's a connection here, okay? If the devil can destroy our thoughts to a place where we are living in fear, men's hearts failing them for fear. Remember that verse? If the devil can bring us to a place where we're living in fear, God's not given us a spirit of fear, so it didn't come from God. He can control your life. So whatever you're absolutely afraid of, now I'm not really talking about spiders. Whatever you're absolutely afraid of controls you. You get it? So if I'm living in fear of this or that or something else, I've allowed the liar of the universe, the deceiver of the universe, to take control of my life. I told the people last week, dying isn't the worst thing that can happen to us. The worst thing that can happen to us is dying without God. And so they overcame him, going back to the Passover. The thing that spared the Israelites was the blood of a perfect lamb. The thing that saves us is the blood of a perfect lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, breaks the power of sin, gives us hope, gives us freedom. And so what do? I woke up years ago. Maybe I woke up. Maybe I didn't. Years ago, and there was this image at the foot of my bed. And all of a sudden, there was a fear. And I looked at that image, and I dealt with my fear, and I said, in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ, get out of here. I knew who it was. And they were gone in a moment. Your life is protected by the blood of Jesus. When demonic things begin to happen, overcome them by the blood of Jesus. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. We know the Lamb is Jesus, right? You can go to chapter 6 or chapter 5, and the Lamb came and took the book out of the hand. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You have more power and authority than you've ever realized, and the problem is it's not enforced because we don't know about it. God did not give Satan a license to beat you up. We gave him the license. Somebody say amen before I get scared, will you? It's absolutely true. We allow the devil to come in. We allow the devil to say things to us that aren't true. We allow the devil to dictate to us what our future is going to be like. We allow the devil to sow thoughts in our minds that are nowhere close to God. And God is saying, you can stop that. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a mindset. It's something that we've allowed Satan to sow in our mind, that everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to have more month and money the rest of my life. I'm not going to make it. I've got cancer. I got sickness. I got fear. I got problems. I got everything going wrong. And the Bible says, stop it. Because what is happening for the pulling down of strongholds and vain imaginations? We allow the devil to bring us imaginations that have nothing to do with our life and are just lies. And God is saying, let's stop it. But you know what happens? He sows an imagination, and what do you take it to? Where do you take it? It's amazing. God understands us. Isn't that amazing? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I'm going to come back to that. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible tells us in chapter 3, hold fast the confession of Jesus Christ. So don't stop confessing that Jesus is Lord, okay? Don't stop confessing Jesus is my Savior. Don't stop confessing that Jesus is my God. Don't stop confessing that Jesus is my Savior. But listen to this. Confession, testimony, is confession. Chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast our confession of hope. Hey, maybe Pastor was on to something when we started talking about hope. Let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering. Don't change it. You may be walking through the hardest struggle you've ever faced in your life. There's hope. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Get together more, seeing that we're in the end times. You realize what that means? Since the beginning of the end, the day of Pentecost, we are told not to miss church so much, but gather as the church often and often and often. Get together. I don't hear any amens, but it was. So why haven't I seen some of you for a while? No. Everybody's underneath the chairs. Hold fast our confession of hope without wavering. I believe something has to happen. And I'm not comparing anybody to the Laodicean church. Okay? I'm not doing that. I'm just saying we need to take the holy eye salve of the Holy Spirit and rub our eyes so we can spiritually see what God's doing. Because you know something? We live in our own little world. And because there's no revival in America that's bursting forth in great flames, we think there's no revival in the world. We compare everything else in the world, and these folks do it to Florida, but we do it to Sisseton, South Dakota. If it's not happening in Sisseton, it's not happening. Forget it. Kurt kind of mentioned something that was pretty nice out in Bethel. And people say, oh, yeah, you know. Why not jump on board? How about having our eyes open so we can see that the God that wants to minister in Sisseton may be already ministering somewhere else? And we start confessing that Jesus is Lord over COC, the Assembly of God, the Lutheran, the Baptist, whoever else. And we're flowing in the Spirit. Go back to chapter 4 and I'm done. Almost. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then in verse 14... that we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, our testimony, our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly, confidently. Hold fast your confession. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is in control. Jesus has everything in control. Hold fast that confession. And then realize that God understands what you're going through. Amen? God understands. God is not here to beat you up. You know why? Well, first of all, he loves you, and we do a pretty good job of beating ourselves up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I saw some beautiful lights yesterday. Only problem, they were on a police car. So I'm confessing. You know, I didn't know that STOP meant for me to stop. What are you laughing about? You know, I thought about that. I beat myself up. You dummy. You know that stop sign was there. How could you go through a stop sign you knew was there? You've been through it 14 times. Maybe I've been through it 14 times. And so it'll cost me some money. I'm not worried about it. I'll just take an offering. No. But you know how that bothers you? Anybody else get bothered by seeing those beautiful lights? Wasn't even Christmas. And so we allow things to just eat at us and beat us up and rob joy. And I was pretty grouchy last night. I should repent. But it was just working. Then I realized, God, how can I preach tomorrow when I feel like this? I'm ornery, I'm yelling, I'm doing stupid stuff. I know you don't get that way. I don't want to get that way either. But we allow things that have no eternal value to eat at us. And we hurt ourselves. When we come to a place of realizing I can't lose something that God gave me if I keep focused, if I keep looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross. Let's understand something. If Jesus looked beyond the cross to the joy that we would bring him, why can't we look beyond our next problem or our certain problem and find the joy that he experienced by going to the cross? Because after all, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, joy, and peace. I'd love to hear you laugh, but I'd love to hear you laugh in the Spirit too. I'd love to see the joy, but let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen? Let the power of God overshadow us. That thing that Kirk was saying about his presence is so true. And you know something? As a believer, his presence is always with you. But we fail to recognize it. Because he wants to talk to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to tell us things. It's not just Pastor or Kirk or Marnie or someone else he wants to tell. Mary, he wants to talk to all of us. He really does. You know why? Because we're his children. And how many fathers or mothers really don't want their children around? You know, I like my kids around even when they bug me for a while. It's wonderful. Your life has hope because in you, Jesus Christ dwells and Jesus is our hope.